We want to continue these studies in the pictorial Bible, looking at the Babylonian captivity, major things that are mentioned in the Bible. And so we come to Daniel in Babylon. Daniel in Babylon. And his life there is given in the book of Daniel, chapter 1 through 6. And the historical background illustrates the major theme of prophecy, which is God's sovereignty in history. Daniel said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him." Yes, indeed, God, the true God. Daniel, as we've seen, was among those taken captive in the first deportation in 604 B.C. It was 18 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. He was taken over to Babylon with his two friends. And his friends were among those, he and his friends, among those chosen to be educated for a position in the Babylonian court. Obviously very intelligent and handsome young people, because that's the only ones who would be able to be stand in the court. We find that they were children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So they were going to take them over to Babylon and educate them in the language, the Babylonian language. They spoke Hebrew, but they learned the Babylonian language and all of the education of Babylon. Daniel, his main name means judgment of God, but he was named Belteshazzar, which means favored of Bel. Bel was the chief god. And Hananiah, gift of God, was named Shadrach, which has to do with the Babylonian god Nebo. And Mishael, David's other friend, means who is like God, Jehovah God, Elohim God. He was named Meshach. So they were renamed after Babylonian gods. Azariah, which means whom the Lord helps, was named Abednego. And again, this has to do with the Babylonian god Nebo. So there they went, taken to Babylon, obviously treated very well, and they would live in the lap of luxury there, in the greatest city on earth. Greatest city on earth. It would have been the dream of any young man of that time to live in those circumstances. He was far from home. There's nobody telling him what to do. But he made his own decision. He and those other friends of his, that they were going to obey God in all things, including the diet that God had told them to have in the Old Testament. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. He determined that before God. He made his own decision. He was just a young man. He made his own decision, and he influenced his other friends, and they all decided to take that stand. And so he requested of the prince of the eunuchs, Belteshazzar. He said, "We don't want to eat the king's food. We don't want to eat the king's food." Well, Belteshazzar was afraid. And he said, "Well, if you don't, you're going to look bad. You'll be in bad health and I will get in trouble." And so Daniel proposed a test. He was very wise and honorable to those over him. He said, "Let's have a test." And after 10 days, let's see who looks the healthiest. And so they ate a diet of pulse and water, a very slim diet. Pulse refers to vegetables and grains, some kind of vegetarian diet. And they didn't eat the ham and the stuff that was popular in Babylon. And so after 10 days, Daniel and his friends looked healthier than the young men who ate the king's diet. And so Melzar agreed that, okay, you can do that. Daniel's always conducting himself wisely. And God blessed them greatly. After their education, they had 10 times more skill than the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. The king communed with them. So they went in actually before the king and were tested by the king himself. They communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And these men were famous, very, very famous for their intelligence and their mathematical skills and whatnot. And yet, Daniel and his friends were 10 times wiser. So Daniel was made a ruler in Babylon, and he sat in this gate. Daniel 2:49, Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Daniel sat in this very gate, the star gate that we've already looked at. He would have seen these things every day. He lived at the same time as Jeremiah. Jeremiah was, well, we saw he was still back in Israel, and then he went to Egypt. He was living at the same time as Ezekiel. We don't know if he knew Ezekiel. Probably did. But he was living there in Babylon in that area at the same time. And so Daniel ruled. He was a ruler in Babylon. And he continued in that high position of government through the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar, Evil-Merodach, Nergal-Sharezer, and all the way down to Belshazzar, who was the last ruler of Babylon. Daniel was still the ruler there. And then the Persians conquered the Babylonians. Daniel was still the ruler for a while under the Persian Empire. And so God preserved this prophet in all those times, in that pagan environment. Daniel was a great prophet, one of the greatest. And his prophecies cover the entire times of the Gentiles when Israel's under Gentile dominion. What a book Daniel is. I love Bible prophecy. It's fascinating to know what the future holds. The Bible tells us exactly what the future holds. Daniel's prophecies of Christ's return, the destruction of the pagan kingdoms of the world, the conversion of Israel, the resurrection of Old Testament saints, the establishment of Christ's eternal kingdom. Daniel prophesies of all that. And Daniel 2. Daniel 2 is a key to understanding Bible prophecy. It's an overview of the times of the Gentiles from Babylon to the Antichrist. It describes 4 great kingdoms that will rise in association with Israel. That's the key to understanding this. These kingdoms are all in association with Israel. There have been many great kingdoms on earth, including the British Empire, but they're not directly associated with Israel. Ancient Chinese empires. And so it describes these 4 great kingdoms. It's a key. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream one night. Couldn't remember what it was. It shocked him, but he couldn't remember. So he called all of his wise men and said, "Tell me my dream." They said, "Well, king, if you'll tell us what your dream is, we'll tell you what it means." He said, "No, I can't remember. Tell me my dream or you'll die." They couldn't tell him. And so Daniel heard about it. Daniel was one of the wise men. He would have died too. And he asked for time. He said, I like a little time and I'll give you the interpretation. So they prayed. That's what you do. Prayer, prayer, prayer. They prayed for wisdom. God revealed the dream and its interpretation in a vision. So Daniel went before the king. He made known the dream. He said, "You saw, king, you saw a great image whose brightness was excellent. The form thereof was terrible." The king said, that was it, yeah. And so the image represents the kingdoms of this world, how they look to man, the kingdoms of this world, they look just glorious. How they look to man. The image depicts fallen man in the height of his glory. It depicts the day of man, the kingdom of man, which is this present time. Man. The head was of gold, the breast and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, the legs of iron, the feet part iron, part clay. It represents, and then there was a stone cut out without hands that smites the image. In the dream, it smites the image on the feet, and the whole thing crumbles and falls and destroyed and is replaced by a mountain that fills up the whole earth. Incredible prophecy. Amazing prophecy. It describes these five world kingdoms. The head of gold signifies Babylon of Daniel's day. Daniel said, "Thou art the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar." The Babylonian Empire was at its greatest. It's probably the most glorious kingdom on earth. Ever existed except for Solomon's. The breast and arms of silver signified the Medo-Persian Empire. And they conquered Babylon. And Daniel was there when it happened. The arms probably signified the two groups, the Medo-Persians, the Medes and the Persians, that came together to form that empire, Medes and the Persians. The belly and thighs signify the Greek Empire. The Greeks conquered the Persians. So that's made clear in the prophecy in Daniel 8, where the Medo-Persian Empire is a ram that is destroyed by a goat depicting Greece. The legs of iron signify the Roman Empire. Rome conquered Greece, the Greek kingdom. The legs of iron, the two legs, the iron. The fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, insomuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. Kingdom of iron. Rome, yes indeed. That was Rome. And that fourth kingdom continues to exist until the time of the Antichrist, when it is destroyed by Christ's coming and the establishment of Christ's kingdom. The legs of iron signify the division of the Roman Empire, the East and West. Very big part of history is the history of the Roman Empire and the division of the empire in the Eastern and Western kingdoms, two legs. And then the feet of iron mixed with clay signify the continuation of the empire, but in a weak and divided state. And that's, the Roman Empire actually has never ceased to exist. The ten toes represent the final form of the kingdom, which is the Antichrist kingdom. Ten toes represent ten kingdoms that will exist in the days of the Antichrist. Ten European rulers who will give their power to this man of sin, to the Antichrist, and they will revive the ancient Roman Empire. That same picture was given in Daniel 7, 7 and 8. And here the ten divisions are represented by ten horns on that beast, the fourth beast, the fourth kingdom, the fourth beast, the ten horns, the ten kings who are going to rule when the Antichrist rises to power. The ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. All of this is just right in front of us somewhere, probably not far off. Revelation 13 describes the same thing. The beast represents the Antichrist, and the 10 horns of the beast represent the 10 divisions of his kingdom at the beginning. The stone without hands is Christ's kingdom. It destroys the pagan empire suddenly, violently. God's kingdom does not come about gradually by kingdom building and gospel preaching. Sudden, a stone cut out without hands signifies a kingdom that is supernatural. It's of God rather than man. Cut out without hands, without man's hands. It's not something built by man. It signifies the kingdom's head, Jesus Christ. He is the stone. He is the rock. Christ. And so the final kingdom destroys those first four kingdoms. And completely. And then that final kingdom exists eternally. And after Christ comes, he will establish his kingdom. And it will never end. There will be 1,000 years of rule. And then there will be the final resurrection. And the great white throne judgment. And then the new heaven and the new earth. Christ's rule, once it starts, it will never end. And that kingdom of Christ, Daniel saw, fills the whole earth. Christ's kingdom will be global. He will rule the whole earth from his headquarters in Jerusalem. And so Nebuchadnezzar was very impressed that this man could actually tell me what I saw in my dream and then explain it. And so he made Nebuchadnezzar made Daniel ruler over the province of Babylon. And the governor, chief governors of the wise men. He was made the top under Nebuchadnezzar, just like Joseph. He was the top under Pharaoh. It's amazing how God raised up these men to the highest powers on earth. Nebuchadnezzar at that time said, Daniel's God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings. So at that time, he's not saying Daniel's God's the only God, but he's a big God. He knew he was dealing with something here. He's a God of gods and Lord of kings. Well, he's more than that, Nebuchadnezzar, but Nebuchadnezzar doesn't know that yet. But he's getting there. And so Nebuchadnezzar became proud. He said, I'm the head of gold. I'm the head of gold. Okay. I'll build a golden statue like they saw in my dream, but it'll all be gold, and I'll make the people worship that image. That was his plan. That's what he did. So that did not humble him at all. It just made him more proud. The image was 60 cubits tall, 6 cubits wide, about 94 by 9 feet. And so that probably included the base, since that's not good dimensions for an image of a man. History tells us of other giant images, giant statues like the Colossus of Nero. It was 110 feet high. And that's 11 stories, that thing was. And the Colossus of Rhodes was 105 feet high. So Nebuchadnezzar gathered together all the people, the leaders, demanded they fall down and worship his image. If you don't worship, you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused. And so someone reported to the king, hey, these Jews, they're not bowing to your image. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods? Nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Surely I've heard wrong about you boys. Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, he's given them a second chance. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Oh, I don't know. Maybe Jehovah. These boys had great faith. They were willing to die. They were willing to burn up. They didn't know that they would not burn up. They didn't know the end of the story. They just had faith in God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amazing. Wonderful faith. They stood alone before that great king. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. It was known to be heated. It was ordinarily heated. He commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his most mighty men, were killed. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down and bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar. So Christ was with these men. He doesn't always do this. He doesn't always deliver from the trials, but he always accompanies them in the trials. Christ has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never leave you nor forsake you. It's a double emphasis. And so Nebuchadnezzar was more impressed now with the God of Israel, God of Daniel. And he made a decree. He sent this decree throughout his kingdom. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort. That's a good law. That was Nebuchadnezzar's law. At this point, Nebuchadnezzar still did not look upon God, the God of Daniel, as the only God. But he's learning things. Daniel is in that high place for these purposes. Israel was raised up by God to be a light to the nations. Finally, Nebuchadnezzar comes to repentance. And this is the second dream that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar. This time he remembered the dream, but he didn't know how to interpret it. So after the magicians, he had this dream. This great tree was cut down. He called in all of his great magicians and soothsayers and whatnot. Tell me the meaning of the dream. They couldn't do it. He told them the dream. It was a giant tree in the midst of the earth, under the shadow of which the beasts and fowls were nourished. A watcher called for the tree to be cut down, but for the stump and roots to be left. His heart was to be changed from a man's to a beast for 7 years. 7 years. So Daniel came in and gave the interpretation. The tree is Nebuchadnezzar. The watchers are angels. They are tasked with observing men's affairs and exercising God's judgment. The cutting down of the tree signifies Nebuchadnezzar removed from the throne for 7 years, given a beast heart. The stump left with a band of iron and brass around it signifies that although Nebuchadnezzar is going to be removed from the throne, his position will be retained. His kingdom will be retained. Daniel, when he understood the meaning of all this, he said, he urged Nebuchadnezzar, break off thy sins by righteousness and by showing mercy to the poor. Repent. Daniel's preaching to the man. Nebuchadnezzar didn't listen. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty? But pride, I. That same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. 7 years lived like a beast. But then God restored his mind, returned him to the throne. And at that time, finally, Nebuchadnezzar praised God as the only God, the King of heaven, the living God, the God of truth. I believe he was converted. He published that testimony to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, his entire huge kingdom. What a testimony in that day to the living God. But the nations didn't listen. Man has had light and light and light and light, and man has ignored it. Man has ignored it. So that message went all through that territory. All through that territory. In the different languages. This is what he said. I bless the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He's learned that God is God. There's not two gods, there's one God. He does what he pleases. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. Well, the nation should have listened to Nebuchadnezzar, but they didn't. So men have no excuse for their lost condition. God has sent light. Men have the light of creation, the light of conscience, and the light of Scripture. But many pagans were saved in the Old Testament time. And so Daniel and Belshazzar and the fall of the Babylonian kingdom occurred in 539 B.C., about 23 years after Nebuchadnezzar died. Belshazzar, his son, a son, means Bel has protected the king. Bel, that's the chief god, Bel, Marduk. Belshazzar. And again, the modernists, the skeptics, in the 19th century, said there was no Belshazzar. That's a mistake in the Bible. That's what was published, for example, in the commentary on Daniel in 1850. It said there's no Belshazzar. That's a mistake in the Bible. Then, in 1861, they finally read the writing on this tablet, Babylonian tablet, that was written by Nabonidus. So it's called the Nabonidus Cylinder. And it has the name Belshazzar on it. So the cylinder was found in Ur of the Chaldees, when they were excavating there in Abraham's old hometown, and it was commissioned by Nabonidus to dedicate the earth tower. They were rebuilding the Tower of Ur, which we've seen in our studies in Genesis. It was one of those towers that were built all across the world after the Babylon. And so in dedication of it, Nabonidus is writing about his kingdom. And he says that Belshazzar was his son. So there's the name Belshazzar in secular history, which the modernists said he didn't exist. But all of a sudden, it's very obvious that he did exist outside of the Bible. This is what it says. This is in the British Museum. It's one of the British Museum's great treasures that authenticate the history of the Bible. As for Belshazzar, my firstborn son, my own child, let the fear of your great divinity be in his heart, and may he commit no sin. May he enjoy happiness in life. Nabonidus is addressing his gods to bless his son. Who? Belshazzar. In 1882, another artifact was translated from the Nabonidus Chronicle, a history of Nabonidus' reign. Again, this is in the British Museum. And they finally read it. Were able to read it. It says Nabonidus was in the city of Tema in the Arabian desert for 10 years. So Nabonidus was the last king of Babylon, but he wasn't in Babylon. He was over in the Arabian desert. So in the meantime, Belshazzar, his son, was in Babylon with the army. So there were two final rulers of Babylon, the Babylonian kingdom, Nabonidus and Belshazzar. So the Bible's exactly right, of course. The Nabonidus Chronicle confirms the Bible's accuracy. Number one, in the calling Belshazzar the king. I'm sorry, let's go back. So the Nabonidus Chronicle confirms the Bible's accuracy in the following ways. Number one, it says that Belshazzar was the king, just like the Bible says. It does not mention Nabonidus in reference to the fall of Babylon because he wasn't there. He wasn't there, and it says he wasn't there. And it confirms that Belshazzar would have offered Daniel the position as third ruler in the kingdom. That's what he did. Daniel 5:29, he said, I'll make you the third ruler of the kingdom. The third, well, who's the first? Well, my dad, Nabonidus. So all of that just confirms the Bible's accuracy. Belshazzar had a drunken party. The very time when the city was besieged by the Medes and Persians. And they had a drunken party. They brought the vessels from God's temple that they had captured in 586 B.C. and brought back to Babylon. They brought those vessels out. They said, let's drink honor of our gods and honor of our gods to these vessels. And so God wrote on the wall, many, many, tikal up uparson. The king saw the part of the hand. The writing was over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall. The walls were plastered. This is Rembrandt's painting of Belshazzar's feast. That's very interesting. He saw part of the hand. He saw the writing. He's drunken, but all of a sudden he's very sober. Queen Mother comes in, recommends that Belshazzar call Daniel. She knew Daniel was a prophet. She could have been Matrocris, who was the daughter of Amytis, the wife of Nabonidus and the mother of Belshazzar. Yes, the mother of Belshazzar. Her name is known in history. But the queen mother recounted how that Daniel had interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. She said, call Daniel. So Daniel came in. He's an old man now. Comes right in there to that feast. He rebukes Belshazzar and the lords. He rebukes them. He preaches at them. And then he interprets the words on the wall. Many. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Upharsin. The kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. That's God's message to you tonight, King. Really, that's God's message to the whole world, and it's going to happen pretty soon. The entire human race has been numbered and weighed and will be broken. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, every single individual is a sinner before God and will face eternal judgment unless they're saved. The only escape is through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, that's God's word to the whole world. So Belshazzar was killed that night. All his riches and pomp and pleasure were left behind. And so he did what Jesus warned about. He gained the world and lost his soul. He could have listened to Daniel. He did not. Jeremiah had prophesied this. The fall of Babylon. Jeremiah 51. It's very dramatic. It's about 70 years before Belshazzar's feast. Jeremiah's prophesying the fall of Babylon. He said, Babylon will fall suddenly. Indeed, one night. One night. Jeremiah said Babylon would trust in its defenses. Indeed. That's why they had the drunken party. They thought they were safe. Nothing's going to bother us. It's ridiculous. This city is impregnable. Jeremiah said Babylon would be conquered by the drying up of her water supply. That's what happened. The Medes blocked the flow of the river that ran through the city, so they just walked right in. They used that dry channel as a road. Jeremiah said Babylon would be taken when the inhabitants were drunken. Well, Daniel describes that drunken party. Darius the Mede took the kingdom that night. Jeremiah 51:11 says it was the kings of the Medes who conquered Babylon. Exactly. That's exactly who did it. It was the kings of the Medes. It was an alliance of the Medes and Persians, but it was the Medes that took Babylon that night. And at first the kingdom was called the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. Later, the Persians got the ascendancy. And so we're going to stop there tonight and then continue our studies in the Babylonian captivity with Daniel in the lion's den.